Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this weekend's UFC main event, Rafael Dos Anjos against Rafael Fiziev. I've got to get the Rafaels and Rafaels right in this one. I'm going to struggle, but we'll see how we go. Okay. I am buzzing for this fight. This for me is one of the most interesting fights of the past few months and of the coming, you know, cards that we've got to look forward to. It's a little bit like you choose the same character on a video game, but one of the video game characters is from the first version and the other one's from like the fourth or fifth. You know what I mean? Like RDA is like Mortal Kombat 1 and Fiziev's like Mortal Kombat 4. Like, he's a bit more modern, he's a bit fresher, he's a bit sharper, probably a little bit more powerful overall. A lot more underqualified in mixed martial arts compared to RDA, as you can imagine. But he brings in his kickboxing record as well, which is 39-8. And what's worth noting about that is out of his 39 wins, he's got 29 knockouts. So pretty much three quarters of the people he's facing are getting knocked out. And it's not too dissimilar in mixed martial arts, 11-1 with 7 TKOs. He's also got one rear naked choke on his record, but that was, of course, you know, way back before the UFC. So I don't expect Fiziev to be trying to grapple with RDA. I don't expect him to have much success with RDA on the floor. You know, we've got a blue belt against a fourth degree black belt. RDA, you know, 13 wins on his record, 10 wins by submission. So you're looking at 30% of his opponents are getting subbed. Arm triangles, arm bars, rear naked chokes and kimuras. A lot of different submissions. There's also something else that stands out to me about RDA. He's a little bit like a lightweight version of Glover Teixeira. Great fundamentals everywhere. You know, good striking, more Muay Thai than boxing. You know, I would say Glover Teixeira's, you know, boxing with a few kicks. RDA is much more of a Muay Thai style. The way that he weights his lead leg, the way that he throws his low kicks, it will put him in good stead against Fiziev, who, of course, is a great striker, a great Muay Thai fighter. I give Fiziev the advantage in speed and I think in power as well. But, you know, the other thing to think about is that this is a 5-round fight and Fiziev has not fought over 5 rounds before. So lots of similarities with these guys. I mean, both 5'8". A 70-inch reach compared to a 71-inch reach, so you know you can kind of write that off. But the difference is the experience that RDA's got in mixed martial arts, his ability to keep it a mixed martial arts fight. You know, Fiziev's got fantastic takedown defense, 95% takedown defense. But persistence over 5 rounds and with his explosivity and with his, you know, he'll be forced to scramble, he'll be forced to defend takedowns, I expect, in this fight. That's really the question for me is, what does he look like, you know, in the championship rounds where RDA, we know he does good work. They're both first round finishers if they get a finish. RDA's been 5 rounds, eight times though, so there's a lot of experience in that fourth and fifth round. RDA, I mean, it's 9 finishes in the first round, 5 in the second, and then it really drops off. He's only ever had 1 finish past the second round. Fiziev, you know, heavily weighted to the first round, 6 in the first round, 1 in the second, 1 in the third. I expect the longer this fight goes, the more I expect RDA to be able to wear him down, because that's kind of what he does. I mean, he's not, you know, he's not a prolific finisher, certainly in his last few fights. I don't expect him to be able to hit Fiziev and really hurt him with his strikes too much. I expect Fiziev to be able to be in and out of range and to be quicker than RDA to force him to, you know, to reach and miss. This is why I expect RDA to grapple a bit more, because I think it's the smart thing to do. You know, he's the guy that's fought at welterweight. You know, he had a pretty strong career at welterweight considering who he fought. And, you know, the outcomes of those fights, taking top-level fighters the distance. I think if RDA decides he wants to close this fight down, even if he fails for the first 3 rounds, eventually he can get it to the floor, and that's where he starts to be very effective. For Fiziev, I think he needs to start fast and needs to do damage in the first couple of rounds. The point that RDA's career has arrived... the point in RDA's career has arrived where, you know, the fights that he's had in recent years, you know, he takes some of that damage into the octagon with him. Whereas Fiziev, although he's had a lengthy kickboxing career, he's still relatively fresh. Okay, let's have a look at a couple of things. so with Fazeev, with Fazeev, whenever his opponents are in striking range, you always feel like he's got something up his sleeve that he's planning. He's not a fighter that I watch and I think to myself, he is just throwing the first thing that comes to mind. He builds into things. You know, he starts a conversation and leads his opponent down one path and then smacks him from the side. He's very good at shifting his angles and moving side to side and drawing his opponent's focus. So their main goal, whenever they're facing him, is to try and stay in front of him. Because he keeps changing that angle laterally so much, he's constantly having to, they're constantly having to turn and face and turn and face. And this is when he's catching people. This is when, as they're turning to face him, he steps in with a low kick and changes his angle again, then hits him with a couple of three punches and then changes his angle again. People often look like they're a step behind. And of course he's fast, but I also think because he thinks fast, he seems faster as well. So even when he's fighting someone that's comparable with speed, he just looks quicker. You know, there's a sharpness to him that I feel is going to be evident against RDA, who does take a lot of punches and can struggle with guys that are quick. I mean, the reach and height, of course, is exactly the same, but the difference is the way that Fazeev moves. He's much more 50-50 on his feet. He moves into range and moves out of range very quickly. What you'll see with RDA is he's either heavily weighted on his front foot and he's pressuring, or he's heavily weighted on his back foot and he's countering. You know, both styles, they don't give you a great deal of quick movement like Fazeev has. Of course, there's a trade-off, and the trade-off with Fazeev is that lead leg will be vulnerable to RDA. I mean, you know, this is southpaw versus a switch stance fighter in Fazeev. Fazeev will switch his stance based on what he thinks is appropriate to deal with RDA, which is a mystery to all of us because he's got such a deep striking skill set. It's probably quite difficult for Fazeev to choose the right way forward in fights because he has so many options, so many different ways that he, you know, it's like a bag of sweets, like which one do you eat first? You know, you're looking forward to eating all of them. It's like he's looking forward to landing that left hook, but he's also looking forward to kicking him in the leg, and if he can crack him with an elbow as well. And there's that excitement in him. You can see it in his fights. RDA is much more businesslike. He's much more, you know, He figures out the right game plan. Glover Teixeira, like I said, he figures out the right game plan and then he marches in that direction. And sometimes it comes a bit unraveled and he can adapt a little bit, but I feel like that's where he might get a bit stuck, because if Fazeev starts to sting him and defend those takedowns, I mean, there's so many different ways this fight can go. I might have been spinning in my brain all day. Okay, let me show you a couple of things. So the lateral movement with Fazeev, we saw it beautifully against Moicano. And this is where you're going to notice his opponent constantly having to change their angle to face him, because he moves all the time. He's moving back and forth along this line. He moves one way, Moicano turns to face. He thinks he's tracking him, and then Fazeev's going the other way. And Moicano's having to track him again. And you can see, look at Moicano, and I know this is a really simple thing to watch, but look how Moicano's crossing his legs. Like, that's never a good thing. You never want to see someone crossing their legs, especially against a good low kicker. Aldo against Frankie Edgar is one of the obvious examples. Aldo was spotting him crossing his legs and he started to chop away at it. But the other point is that this shows that Moicano's following Fazeev. Now, let's just watch it through slow. Follows. You can feel there's a follow, and then Fazeev will switch his angle back and then he will attack. So in the moments where, let's go back to the start, in the moments where his opponent is about to turn and face him, they're the moments where he jumps on them ready to attack, because they're thinking movement first before their attack. And because he's a step ahead of them, attack comes because he's already moved. So watch here. He'll circle to his right a little bit. Moicano will turn and face him. He's going to test the range. Moicano is going to throw out a jab and he's going to go back. Moicano follows and then comes back to the same line and then attacks. And this combination is beautiful because, it flows through lovely. You can tell that these first two shots, he stitches these together quite a lot. So he goes left hook to the body, which also has opened up this target on the side of the head. So the right hand's going to come over and crack him there. But because the right hand lands, but it doesn't land cleanly, as you see Moicano start to move back and to kind of reel a little bit from the shot, and you can also notice that Fazeev's quite square on his feet. He's very kind of Mike Tyson in the way that he launches his left hook. He doesn't always stay on the floor. Of course, you know, you'll hear a boxing coach sit down on your punches. And of course, you know, there is a value to really being able to, you know, solidify yourself into the ground so you can twist through and put all the power in. But you can also generate power leaping. I mean, Superman punches and gazelle hooks and all different kinds of, you know, the less used attacks can generate a lot of power as well. And what you'll see with Fazeev here as he leaps with this left hook, I mean, look, see how he's ramping his body. He's it's almost like he's box jumping. Like, imagine there was a box here and he was jumping up onto it. Like, he's primed here to spring up onto that box. You can see how he's primed. But the thing is that the priming of the legs is being loaded into this left hook. So as he pushes off his toes, look, I mean, look how he springs off the floor and launches that left hook. It's a beautiful punch. I mean, it's not just not something you would see someone drilling on the bag, but this is that adaptability in the moment, flow state striking, because he's got such a lot of experience at it. I mean, I could watch it all day. Left hook, right hand. As Moicano falls away, it's already initiated here, and then he springs off his legs. Springs off his legs to land that left hook. Really nice shot. And you can see how these two punches go together, because as one's landing, the other one's already on the way. But then you get a brief pause. Moicano's moving back, and then a big power, and you can see that torque come through the shoulder as well and crack him on the chin. Like, these are the issues for RDA, because I think his fundamentals are good enough to be able to block the first two punches. You know, I think he might be able to cover and check a lot of the things that Fazeev's throwing at him. But it's the third, fourth, and fifth shots. They're the ones that Fazeev is going to land, and they're the ones that are going to put RDA on the back foot. Here we go. Left hook, right hand, springs in. Here we go. You can see from this angle that his legs aren't even on the floor. I mean, I've been watching quite a bit of Ricky Hatton recently, because we're going to fight on the same card later in the year. Ricky did a lot of this. I mean, he was great at sitting down on his body punches, but he would also leap at him with a left hook. Generates a lot of power. It's a different style of fighting. It's a different style of throwing a punch, of course. You know, I think it might be illegal in professional boxing to be off the canvas when you're landing. I will clarify that and let you know. But it might be, but obviously in MMA you can do what you like, pretty much. Anyway, the thing with Fazeev is, while ever it's in striking range and while ever he's got space to move, he's always going to be a step ahead of RDA. RDA's got good fundamentals. He's going to be able to block and cover a lot of the things that I feel Fazeev is going to throw at him. But because the volume and the speed at which Fazeev comes at him, I mean, you know, strikes landed per minute, you know, 3.62 for RDA and 5.35 for Fazeev. Striking accuracy is in Fazeev's favor. I mean, you know, you've just got to think that he's going to land more than RDA will. But then, you know, takedown attempts per 15 minutes, RDA's at nearly two. You know, so he's going to be pushing a grappling pace. He's going to be holding him up against the fence and probably feeling a bit more like a welterweight in there than a lightweight. And I expect, you know, if he's able to get it to the floor, that's when RDA takes over. That's when he's going to be able to start to really control Fazeev. But I think in order to do that, Fazeev is going to have to either be tired or hurt. I don't think RDA is going to be able to do it just technically and physically, because I think Fizzy's going to be too quick off the mark, too easy to scramble, and too difficult to keep a hold of. You know, RDA did much better at welterweight controlling those guys on the floor because they're a bit bigger and a bit slower. You know, I mean, not much slower, of course, and they're a little bit stronger, but there's more of them to control. And RDA did a fantastic job with that. With Fazeev, he's a lot more scrambly and quick, very, very difficult to control. But, you know, if RDA can even walk through a couple of really rough rounds and start to land some good shots on Fazeev, chop into that lead leg and, you know, start to work his body a little bit and slow him down, then he might be able to wrestle him up against the fence. You know, we might see towards the end of the third round, all of a sudden Fazeev's, you know, clinched up against the fence and he keeps looking up at the clock and, you know, he's looking frustrated, but he's still kind of hitting RDA and probably protesting to the referee as well and those kind of things. If we see that in the third round, that's where RDA is going to be a problem in the fourth and fifth. That's when we're going to see Fazeev, you know, we're going to see him tested to see where he's at this level, because, you know, in order to progress towards a belt, you need to start fighting five rounders. You know, RDA's fought 8 times over 5 rounds, as I said. Fazeev's never done 5 rounds. He's been the distance over 3 rounds 3 times. So he's not even got a lot of experience at 15 minutes. Okay, RDA. So with RDA, we've talked about his striking. You know, he's got a Muay Thai style. He's got very, very heavy low kicks. He's got just got a good all-round fundamental Muay Thai game. You know, if you wanted a good basic game, just like I say, you know, a Glover Teixeira game, he's got great fundamentals on the ground and great fundamentals on the feet. RDA is exactly the same. But when it hits the ground, that's really where, for me, where he starts to take over. And he impressed me a lot when he was at welterweight. You know, and the other thing worth mentioning as well, and this might play into this a little bit, because as I said, Fazeev in the first couple of rounds, first 3 rounds maybe, is going to be really difficult to control. Kevin Lee's a very strong wrestler, and RDA was able to drown him. He was able to just outlast him, out-tough him. And when it got into the fourth round, you know, well, I mean, it just looks rough. It just looks really rough. I mean, there are a few different ways that RDA can get the fight to the floor. The basic power double is an obvious one. You know, drives Kevin Lee to the fence here, lifts him and slams him. And then he deals with wherever he lands on the floor. It doesn't really matter. He can land in guard or side control or half guard or whatever, because his path is the same every time. If he lands in guard, it just adds a different step, an additional step to his passing game. You know, he passes to half guard, passes to side control, maybe even just leapfrogs them, goes straight to side control if he's quick enough. Then it depends on what they do. Usually he wants to keep them on their back so he can take mount. And if he takes mount, then you're going to get ground and pounded. And it's going to feel like you can't move, just like it does when Glover Teixeira is on top of someone and he's working that ground and pound. They start to twist and you know, move in ways that they know they shouldn't do. And if it was a jiu-jitsu match, they wouldn't do it. But because they're getting punched in the face and elbowed and, you know, they're feeling suffocated, and like Kevin Lee, you know, it's into the fourth round and, you know, he's in this position and he's got this monster on top of him that is a fourth degree black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I have to state that again. And then we see this horrible kind of grinding, you know, pressure that he has. You can see him digging his chin into Kevin Lee's forehead there, you know, just those horrible little things that those old school guys are really good at. And you can see Kevin Lee sitting up, palm on the face, pushes him down, and that's where you get that little bit of panic from Kevin Lee. But now look at that little dip of the head from RDA. So look at that, palm on the face, and Kevin Lee's trying to get past that arm, and watch what RDA does. This arm's going to drop down. It's going to come around here, so it's around the neck, and then he's going to circle his head underneath, so it's underneath the tricep. So what he's doing at the moment, there's no loop, but he's going to bring the loop together with this hand and this one. He's going to close that gap, and then he's going to pull the arm towards the head. It's a really nice little process that he has here. So he hooks around the face, so now Kevin Lee's struggling and driving into the left forearm of RDA. At the same time, he's bracing here because he knows that he doesn't want RDA to get past that elbow. But he's also putting pressure into that, which means RDA can feel that pressure on the side of his head. And just like a little roll, he's going to go underneath it. And then he's going to drive his head up into the tricep at the same time as pulling this arm around to close that noose around the head and shoulder of Kevin Lee. See how he drives his head up? Eclipsed by the referee. And then here we go. So this is where he closes the loop, palm to palm. Now that's quite a long loop. That's the loop just there. That's what we're looking at. But what's going to happen is he's going to drive down with this shoulder and he's going to pull up with these hands, and that's going to slowly get tighter. And it's going to pull Kevin Lee's arm from this gap here. There's nice space there. That's going to get closed and the shoulder's going to be up against Kevin Lee's ear. And as he's doing, he's going to drive forward and he's going to drive him to the floor. You see how that closes there and the arm goes up to the side of the head. And now that is much tighter. That's the head and arm. That's the arm triangle right there. I mean, the triangle is actually there. That's what we're looking at with the triangle. But the principle is still the same. That is being tightened now around Kevin Lee. So he's being choked on this side with the arm of RDA and he's being choked on this side by his own arm and shoulder. And you've got to think, I mean, he's been fighting for nearly 20 minutes at this point. And he had good rounds. He started really well. He was lighting RDA up and wrestling him and but you just couldn't maintain it. And this is another point where you see RDA's game start to look a little bit like Glover Teixeira. I mean, it's just really good basic jiu-jitsu. You know, often we see people miss this step when it comes to arm triangles. So you can just see in the background there, he's circling this foot over to this side so he can really get some proper pressure into that shoulder. So now he's off to side control. And look how Kevin Lee bridges up. And this is a part of the tightening process, because this never loosens off. It's like a zip tie. If space becomes available and it gets closed down, that's it. It doesn't go any bigger after that. It only gets smaller. This is what makes people like RDA such strong grapplers and so successful with any kind of neck or head and arm type of attacks, is that they know how to not only get the position, but they also know how to slowly take that, you know, increase that pressure, you know, screw that what, however you want to say it. I mean, just picture it. It's like a vice. It's like a clamp. And they just don't release it. You know, Eddie Bravo always used to say during training, a black belt squeeze. And that's in my mind what a black belt squeeze is. It's not someone that's got excitement of, oh, I've got it, I'm going to finish. And then 15 seconds and then they have to release because they're burning themselves out. It's the jiu-jitsu equivalent to someone hitting someone with a knockout or a concussive shot, and they see them reel, and then all of a sudden they get mad excited and start charging and windmilling. You know, like Usman, you can tell he's not landed loads and loads of concussive blows, because when he hits anybody, but I mean, his initial striking's gotten really sharp. But then when he hurt Gilbert Burns, you could see that kind of excitement come out of him, and then everything becomes looping. Like, that's the difference. You know, when you get to Mark Hunt's level of striking or RDA's level of grappling, that level of excitement is diminished. And in its spirit, it's replaced with wisdom and patience. And that's what we see here. I mean, he's off to the side. And then the additional detail that I love, which is very much like Glover Teixeira, here we go, we'll see it better from the top position, is the leg wedged under the hips to really emphasize the choke. I mean, if you think of body mechanics, you can imagine how much deeper it feels. So here we go. This is the position where Kevin Lee's bracing on the side of RDA, and RDA is going to feed this arm around and start to close that zip tie. So he's going to dip under the shoulder, under the elbow, and he's onto the tricep. And then the hands are going to come together in a moment. And this is where you see him drive him down to the canvas at the same time as tightening up that zip tie. There we go. Tightens him down and drives pressure into his shoulder here. Now watch what's going to happen with the feet. He's going to keep this knee on the floor, and he's going to pivot this leg over to the other side. Look at that. Because he doesn't want to get caught in half guard, he's avoiding the potential defenses that Kevin Lee's going to have here. What he doesn't want to do is get excited and do anything explosive and take his pressure or his weight off, because that's going to give Kevin Lee a space to escape. Or it might give him an opportunity to snare this leg in his half guard and slow down the progress of it. So he goes straight over, hooks on the outside of the thigh, minor details, and then drops himself off. Now watch what happens with his left knee, because a lot of people keep this at the hip when they do arm triangles, or they just kind of lay it flat out and work more on the squeeze than anything. But he puts it as a wedge underneath Kevin Lee's back. So now Kevin Lee's lower back is off the ground as well. So it's like there's now pressure onto the back of his head, which means that the pressure into his neck is even more emphasized. It's a minor detail, but these are the little details that make RDA so effective in this position. There we go. There you can see the knee underneath. You can see the fact that Kevin Lee's back is arched there. It's an incredibly uncomfortable position for him. And what you'll notice in the Neil Magnify is the exact same process. Difference was, this was first round, and like I said, I think he found it a bit easier to control welterweights. With Fazeev, there's going to be a window of time, I think, where Fazeev's going to be able to scramble and stuff his takedowns. That's where RDA's toughness and durability might keep him in the fight till the later rounds. It might not, but if it does, then we get into this kind of range. Here we go again. Palm on the face. I mean, he's really driving down. That's like a, if ever you've done, you know, your white belt to blue belt in jiu-jitsu, you'll know that he's setting this up as an armbar here, and he doesn't want to go for it because it's a bit more risky in MMA. But in jiu-jitsu, that is a basic armbar setup right there. Maybe a bit mean pushing on the face, but, you know, that's what it's all about. Anyway, so he's going from pushing on the face. He's got his right arm right on the face of Neil Magny, and he's kind of pressing down on the back of his palm with his other hand as well, and then he's going to drop this elbow point to his forehead. Now, Neil Magny was lucky he was covering that, but what you do notice is it forces him to turn, kind of bounces off the top of his head, and he felt the impact of that, and then he starts to turn and do something that he knows he shouldn't be doing. Look where the elbow is. Look where RDA is setting up. He's on the back of the tricep again. He's going under the arms. There we go. The zip tie's closed. He moves his leg over to the other side. And watch how he wedges his knee underneath. And you can see it's his lower back because you can see the Reebok sign there, which you can see is right in the middle. So you can imagine where that knee is. And as Neil Magny turns back into him, he actually brings him up onto the knee. It's a minor detail. Next time you're grappling, if you find yourself in an arm triangle position, just make sure you do this. Make sure you add this in. A lot of the time when people are turning and twisting, you can drive the knee in a bit deeper and take even more space away from them, whilst at the same time, of course, keeping that zip tie closed. Really nice position. Really strong grappling from RDA. Does it get there? Does he get it to the ground? I don't know. I'm not sure. Fazeev is a fantastic fighter. The only time we've seen him lose was his UFC debut, and he got caught with one of his own techniques. He got caught with a spinning back kick. And it was like the anger that he had for losing by strikes. I think he, in his head, he always thought, if I'm going to lose, it's going to be because someone's going to take me down and submit me. The idea of losing by strikes, he'd just kind of written it off. And he was far more comfortable in his UFC debut than I've seen almost anybody else. It was like he knows he's going somewhere. And I like that confidence, because that turns into swagger in the fights. And that's where his ability to open up with 3, 4, 5 strike combinations comes from. And he looks relaxed while he's doing it. That takes confidence. It takes a certainty in what you're capable of. With RDA, he knows he's capable of it because he's already been there. He's already done it. I mean, he is championship material. He was a top flight welterweight as well when he decided to make the move up. He's done 5 rounds multiple times. You know, if he's finishing people, it's in the later rounds. If he's going past the second round, it's almost always going to be a decision. But he did stop Kevin Lee in the 4th. That's worth noting. The stats lean towards Fazeev for striking. They lean towards RDA for grappling. I think that's pretty clear. The question is, does it get into the grappling range before RDA takes too many shots from Fazeev? And that is what I don't know. Because I feel like Fazeev hits very hard. And I don't know whether RDA's durability is more suited to him at welterweight than it is at lightweight. That's a question. I don't know. Fazeev might light him up. It might look brutal. He might make RDA look really old. Or RDA might come in and remind us, you know, why fundamentals are so important in mixed martial arts. And if you've got the ability to take a few shots and, you know, outlast your opponent into the championship rounds, then you're championship quality, and we know RDA is, or was. It's a good fight. Enjoy, and I'll see you next time.